Dear sir, dear ma'am, whoever you are, please do become excellent in whatever it is, your vocation that God has given you to do on the earth. Yes, learn and grow in it. But there is a message here. And the message here is this. When I leave this planet one day, if I leave as the smartest, most educated, most knowledgeable, most degreed, most honored man on the earth and lack this one thing, I will spend an eternity in the flames of hell. But if I leave this planet and I don't know much of anything, but I know this one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I will spend eternity in heaven in bliss with my Savior forever and ever. I determined to know one thing. And then in verses 3 and 4, Paul says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. How many of you have ever determined to open your mouth and share the good news of Jesus with somebody, and you can relate to what Brother Paul says right here? Weakness and fear and much trembling. I can. And he says, I was in that condition, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul contrasts his weakness and his mistrust of his own oratory power with the power of God, both in the anointing of the Spirit and in the message itself. I'll tell you what, it is such good news that God says through Paul in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? It's the power of God. See, the message has the power. We're not dependent on the messenger having the power, although we want Holy Spirit power. The message itself has the power. In verse 5, he says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's the power of the message. How we need to understand and be swallowed up in the glory of the message of the gospel of Jesus. And how we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. So, I want to launch from there, and I want to encourage you like never before in your lives, and I want my own soul to be encouraged like never before, to be one who is determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and then to go forth sowing gospel seeds. Sowing gospel seeds. Seeds. That's what you are. You're a farmer. You are a seed sower. To go forth sowing those seeds for the glory of God. And let me give you a few practical helps that will help you. And then I want to tell you a story that so has impacted my life and caused me to get a vision of the glory, of the power that's in that seed when I sow it. And I hope it will do the same for you. Now, how many of you know, just intrinsically as a Christian, that you ought to be sharing your faith? And how many of you often feel guilty that you're not sharing it like you ought to be? Yeah, that's right. Do you know, Campus Crusade did one of these research things, and they found out how many Christians are actively sharing their faith. Guess. Somebody give me a guess. 20%? Somebody else. How many? Somebody else? 2% has it. 2% of Christians are actively sharing their faith. Now, why is that? I believe, well, some of it I believe is just our disobedience, but I believe some of it is because we don't know how. We just freeze when we think of talking to somebody and getting it from just talking about the weather to talking about the state of their soul. I mean, what do? Yeah, nice weather today. Did you know you're going to hell if you die tonight? What do you do? And so John and I have been talking, and we hope that sometime here in the spring that we're going to be able to have an actual evangelism course, a one-day kind of crash course to help equip you to do that. And those of you who are courageous enough will actually go out that day and we'll put it to practice. So it's okay to say that, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So here are a few things. Please get these, all right? A few things that will help you before I tell the story that I want to tell you. Let me get this. First is this. Understand the power in the message versus the weakness in the vessel reality. Okay? There's this reality. Power in the message, weakness in the vessel. Power in the message, weakness in the vessel. It will help free you up to understand this. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, part of it is what we just read Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 2. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, but I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and Jesus was preached, though this vessel was so weak. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, the Apostle Paul says this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be in God and not in us. We must understand the treasure of the kingdom, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the hope of our glory, of our calling, Christ in us. That treasure happens to be lodged until we get our glorified body in heaven. It is lodged in this earthen thing. It's lodged in this corrupt thing that's getting older, and it gets hurt and painful and sick, and it feels depressed sometimes and feels good other times, and it's like a yo-yo, and it's got these issues in it, this earthen vessel. And see, we get confused and think, we focus on the earthen vessel and say, how could I ever be used? And the problem is, we don't recognize the issue is not the vessel, the issue is the treasure. See, my job is to get this earthen vessel over in front of somebody and then ooze out the treasure. Sorry. See, if I never get the vessel over to the person, they won't have a chance to get the treasure. Does that make sense? Paul said this. He said, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That is such glory. We ought to jump up and down over that. Because I often feel weak. And I see my sin, and I see my lack of compassion, and I see my lack of fervor for God, and I see this longing just to have a nice, easy life. I see this stuff. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, He says most gladly, I will rather glory in my weakness that the power of Christ may rest on me. And so we got to get that, number one. Understand the power in the message, weakness in the vessel, reality. Secondly, getting hold of the gospel preaching mandate. The gospel preaching mandate. And keep it crystal clear. Crystal clear. The gospel preaching mandate. I am not a complicated kind of person. I'm pretty simple. And so this really helps me. And here's what helps me. Luke 19:10. Jesus said this about Himself. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Want a mission statement of Jesus Christ? There it is. I've come to seek and to save the lost. He dies. He's resurrected. He goes to where the disciples are in the upper room. And He shows up. He greets them. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. And this is what He says in John 20, verse 21. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Okay? Now, that is about as clear for me as it can get. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost, and as the Father sent me, I am sending you. There is a mandate in my life. My job as a Christian is not to be a connoisseur. It's not to be someone who just sits around and judges how good a church is doing, how good the worship was, how good the preaching was, and kind of read Christian books and do Bible studies. All that's okay. But I've got a mandate. I've got a mandate from the one who saved me. He said, I came to seek and save the lost, and I'm sending you to do. Now, I've got to have that clear in my head. By the grace of God, I won't get condemned about my failure to do it, but nevertheless, I've got to have it clear in my head. The third thing is nurturing a compassionate heart. Nurturing a compassionate heart. Jesus give me just 1 second here, if you would. Okay. Jesus looked on the multitudes, and you know what it says? It says he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Oh, how I want to be moved with compassion for people, don't you? Do you ever struggle feeling a lack of compassion? I do. Tell you one thing that's helped me move me a little closer to compassion. It's meditating in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And here's what it says. The Apostle John is given this vision by God, and he says, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whom the heavens and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That helps me. That helps me. I want to stay focused there. When I'm out among people, I want to be thinking about that. I want to realize that they're a moment away, perhaps, of standing before that great white throne and having those books be open about everything that's ever been done in their lives and thought in their lives and spoken in their lives. And I want them to know about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because that's their only hope. So, when does compassion come? How do you get compassion? It would be very difficult for me to count how many times. Faith, come up here just a second, okay? This is my daughter, Faith. She has a twin daughter, Charity. Twin daughter, she's my daughter, her sister, and Faith and Charity are a big part of my team, not my team, our team, as we go out. I'd like to introduce Don Dove. Don, would you stand up? Don is in our church, and Don is a young man who has caught on fire in recent months, and the thing that has helped him catch on fire is being out there, right, Don? Out there where the people are, And so, Faith, is it true that many times when we go out to do these outreaches that we're dragging our feet? Mm-hmm. It's a struggle, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, just real quickly, because you don't have much time, because I don't have much time, so don't take up too much of the little time I have. Right? All right. Just briefly describe what happens when we leave sometimes and what happens on the way back.
Okay. Sometimes, just like my dad said, we leave to, you know, we get in the van and we're just depressed. We don't want to do this at all. We'd rather be home getting our stuff done and all that sort of thing. But, you know, you get there, you pray, and God gives you the grace to go and start preaching the gospel to these people. And you realize that, you know, most of the people that you talk to, they have no clue about the message that you're bringing. And you just get this sense of joy after you're finished talking to each person. And always, every single time when we're in the car heading back, there's just this joy and satisfaction and fulfillment that's in each of our hearts, because it's what Jesus has called us to do. And it just makes sense that he would give us joy, just fulfilling our call and stuff. So it's been wonderful. It's changed my life, and it's just been incredible.
And when we're out there with the people, mm-hmm. you're impacted
yeah,
with their lives.
Totally.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Thank mm-hmm. you very much. Faith. Here's what we want. We want to get in our nice little comfortable living room and sit back in our easy chair and say, oh God, fill me with compassion. Lord, fill me with compassion. Don't we? Anybody? That's what I want. And then here's what we expect. We expect this kind of, woo, ah, I'm going to preach the gospel now. You know what God's way is? God meets us with compassion on the way. That's what happens. I've seen it. It's amazing.